phela mina ngiyinsizwa ngiyinsizwa.
New to betting? EasyBet.co.za makes it simple, fun and exciting even if it's your first time. Sign up now and score 50 Rand sign-up bonus. No deposit needed. Just use the promo code SHADYPH and it's yours instantly. Looking for more? Your first deposit gets you a 150% bonus up to 1,500 Rand. That's more to play with and bigger chances to win. But wait, there's more. EasyBet will match your first bet up to 500 Rand, so you're getting extra play without extra spend. Even if luck's not on your side, they give back 15% of your losing bets every week. Now that's backing real players. And the best part is, there's even more waiting when you join. So head on over to EasyBet.co.za now and check it out for yourself. T's and C's apply. EasyBet Group Pty Limited is licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 may gamble. Winners know when to stop. Find the link in the description below.
Yo, listen.
This guy.
Listen, it is a show.
My God.
It is this show, today's show. We even had to cancel last week. We had to take a break because today's Okala, okay? Kanyiwa, it's something interesting. I don't know what the fuck these guys are laughing at, but
these guys are angry. The real convos were shady. The off-air convos were more shadier than...
This man needs no introduction. We're going to go straight into it. No lube.
In. Sarat.
School.
Crazy business.
Couple is Palin. Right? No pulling out, please.
And that following the accusation that I just spoke about.
That's why.
That made it impossible for me to talk about.
Well done. Thank fuck.
Touche.
I don't even swear on this episode, but yes, you got me with
you already
on.
Have.
No, I can't believe he said that shit. I can't believe he. Yes. Just cause I turn kissy team for
yeah,
you.
In.
Kissy team,
come on,
day, brah.
Come on, Warwick.
Yeah, welcome to it. It's the Shady Podcast. Azkar.
What's up, gents? No, good man, good. There's a lot. There's a lot that's going on in South Africa, and we all.
Bro, that's why we brought you here because yo, it's too much for us.
It's tricky. You know, it was super interesting. So I was playing golf yesterday with mates, and. You know, the thing about my mates is that they're like the corporate types or whatnot. So they kind of use me as like a barometer to check, hey, chief, what's going on there? Mm. So my one mate is like, hey, chief, is Helen Zille going to become mayor of Joburg? And I'm like, no.
It's been the question on boy, everybody's ain't no way, lips.
Boy. I'm like, ain't no way, boy. Ain't no way, boy. But let me substantiate why. Mm. I think that what is happening in Johannesburg is that there is real friction between people who pay and the value destruction of assets that people have put in. And they're saying to themselves, what I paid and what I get out of paying for being a Johannesburg resident.
Yes, these in things terms are of not my matching. Rates and taxes, my electricity,
water,
my
delivery
water.
Of these things. They're not matching. So these people are now feeling very shifty about a lot of things. So when Helen Zille and the DA made the announcement that she's in the running to become mayor of Johannesburg, there were a lot of people whose frustrations were allowed an exit.
Yeah.
And they started to talk a lot. But then I said to my mate, I said, but do you understand that what's actually happened in Johannesburg is that at the same time, Herman Mashaba said, I'm up.
I'm back.
Put me in. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. And I said, there is a higher likelihood of Herman Mashaba becoming the mayor of Johannesburg again. This is important. Again,
with a proven track record.
You can go and say, I didn't like the stuff that Herman did, I didn't like what he did here, but I like this and I like that. There's a growing trend and frustration from people that they want to see things fixed, and a lot of the things that they want to see fixed are the things that, and I dare say, are starting to be fixed in Tshwane. Yeah. And that's Herman's show, right?
Right.
Action SA and the people that are there are Herman's show. Sure. So he's closer to the action. But if you said to yourself, do I want to have Helen Zille be mayor of Johannesburg based off her track record in Cape Town? Do I want Herman back in based off the infrastructures and the things that they've set up in Tshwane
and
the fact that he was the mayor.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's a bit covering your face.
Okay, cool. So So that's the conversation that people are now not having. And that's the one that I want to have.
Sure.
To say, there's also Herman. Well, maybe because Herman and his machinery doesn't have the pleasure of being highly connected to mainstream media and the and Stratcom.
Sure.
I can say that.
So his PR run is not going to be as fantastic. As,
yeah. Exactly.
He's not going to have a screaming match with Anele.
100%.
Sure. And whether you liked it or not, to be fair, that was mad mileage. I commented on it and I said, wow, I don't agree with the content, but fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it's for like... For everyone.
Okay.
It was brilliant for... Remember, in my opinion, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, there is, but these people, the people that were in that interview are never going to cross the line into MacG territory.
Yeah.
So when that execution of that moment happened, it's like one of those viral moments that was brilliant.
It has gone
Anele
viral.
Was super witty. The comeback was super witchy.
Sure.
Another comeback was super witty.
Sure,
you understand?
Sure.
Remember, it was that whole
back
thing
forth,
of
pa, 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 pa.
Yeah. Nice tennis match.
Right? Mm. It made me want to go and see what else did they talk about, is my point. So I think that moment was brilliant.
Yeah.
But the Stratcom point you're raising, you're not checking Uncle Herm on all of these platforms. Gotcha. He's just on his Twitter.
You also have to understand that Helen is marketing herself to the black middle class. I want people to understand that. She's not marketing herself to, like, Amanga Amla, to white people.
Sure.
She's not doing that.
Sure. She
she's
marketing.
Exactly. She does not need to.
Mm-hmm.
She needs the people that stay in the north,
sure.
the people that stay in the good part of the south,
swing that
in the east and in the west. She needs those black people to back her.
Sure.
Because remember,
she needs Midrand. She needs Ramsach.
And I don't know if Amatosa are developing. Going to back her. The closer people, I don't think they'll back her.
I don't know.
Because Midrand the four is Amatosa.
Remember,
it's Eastern Cape. No, but it's
true. As the Eastern Cape.
No, it's just, honestly, it's he had so as the Eastern Cape.
Can you win with Waterfall only?
No. You need the
Waterfall itself,
bro. You need the guys without furniture. You need those. They
You
want to drive the fancy cars to the voting booth.
You know, I think her timing is also clever. No. At the moment, the city is a fuck show.
It's a mess.
It's such a mess, right?
Sorry,
that anybody
before you go in, sorry, Warwick, I actually wanted to wait for you to finish. You know what's interesting about what we've currently spoken about? And then there's, I guess it's not an elephant in the room, but the conversation that's not being had is, where's ANC in all of this, right? of which,
and Dada is there, boss.
No, come on.
Honestly.
It goes to show that those guys, and even if you were to look in now, they don't have a credible next person.
Bro.
Right?
They don't have a credible current or last.
So for me, it
bro, like,
it's like
how
eight,
do you
how many
so
mayors?
Much?
I think it's like eight. But you can fact check us.
Like,
but
like
I think
eight or nine mayors
in like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah,
bad.
Look,
so,
one
so
of
for
them
me,
died
then,
and stuff.
It
but
then,
yeah.
it then goes to the race will be between Herman and Helen.
Yes.
Yeah. The race will be between Herman and Helen. The smartest thing that ANC could do is back Herman.
Yeah. And they have backed Herman. They've shown that they can work with Herman.
Sure.
And here's the interesting bit about all of this in terms of, like, from a strategy perspective. The Democratic Alliance doesn't like people doing stuff before they do them or stuff that they think should be done.
Sure.
Like working with the, like, the DA works with the ANC at national government.
Mm-hmm.
But they will vilify a party like Action SA for working with the ANC to 100%, run Tshwane.
100%.
So that's what you currently, that's the friction that exists.
That's
why Helen exists in this weird, like, orb and sphere where she will go and say things that she knows might not be fact-checked in the greater scheme of what the DA says across its strata, its national, provincial, and regional structures.
Right.
But they will still call out other people as if they're not doing the same things. And that hypocrisy is what makes this thing so weird. Like, you don't have to wonder about whether or not somebody like a Gayton and a Kenny at PA, how they're going to act. Those folks are just like, hey, we want to do these things. We want to be aggressive about it. They don't posture, whether they're at this point or that point or that point.
Mm-hmm.
Action SA have made a play to say, everybody wants national. We want to start from the bottom at regional, as Action SA, and go up through the structure. Mm-hmm. So after
by
we get
proving we can manage
100%, and that is a better long-term strategy than a lot of the other guys.
Sure.
And I think that the guys from Zansi, Rise from Zansi, the guys from Bosa, even the Good Good and other parties, they will side with an Action SA. In fact, I believe that the biggest reason why the Democratic Alliance is going so heavily into Action SA is because Action SA has proven that even with the ANC, they can work with them, because there's a lot of numbers that are showing us that the ANC might not take majority in a lot of things, but they'll be the biggest majority party, even though they'll be a minority terms of the majority-minority dynamics. So what this says is that if Herman now has an access to go speak to the ANC for different various metros, where they'll say, let us be the mayors of all of these places, and you can still take CFO, you can still take certain positions, whatnot, so that you still are important to us because you're a big partner, but you can't form government alone.
Sure.
And the other thing that I was thinking about was that I have not heard the ANC cry a lot about how Herman is doing things in Tshwane.
Yeah.
Which means that the Action SA has found a way to work with the biggest majority party, which can't form a government without Herman. And Herman said, let's form a gov. Let's form a mayoral committee that can run the city. And the DA doesn't like that, because that starts to permeate. Don't think about it now. Think about in three election cycles.
Sure.
What an Action SA looks like when it has maybe taken 3, 4, 5 metros. Because the Action SA can easily be like, okay, Trollope can try there in Kebega, Nelson Mandela municipality. Mm-hmm. Let's put somebody in here. Then let's get someone to try and go for or become deputy in eThekwini.
Sure.
Now suddenly you're going, we're in 4 solid metros.
Mm.
Can we now go with the PA and other smaller parties to try and take Cape Town?
Cape Town.
Mm. Mm.
So you can see that the one thing we can't take away from the DA is that their long-term strategies are sound. Their long-term strategies. When you listen to Helen speak about what their strategies are, everything that she has spoken about in some way, shape, or form has materialized in the way that it has. Mm. When you see those videos from like 10, 12 years ago, where she's like, we don't need the ANC out of power. We need them to be below this thing so that we can twist them to take this thing.
Sure.
Because they know that their blind spot is that they don't resonate with black people on the ground.
Yeah,
they know that.
Yeah.
So they were like,
they certainly don't resonate with the masses that they need
100%
to push it over.
To take majority.
Yeah.
So they've said, if we have these class of people who are a little bit higher, upper middle class, maybe into like the middle class, but the higher part of that, then they say to themselves, we need a partner who can do the legwork for us at the bottom that we will always have control over.
Mm-hmm.
And control is the ultimate key.
We need to pull the strings.
Mm. The DA doesn't necessarily want to have to do the politicking on the ground, because they know they won't resonate.
Sure.
But if we can have Warwick go in there at eThekwini and Warwick Simbambile, it doesn't matter who's in that position as long as the policies are sound. So that's the dynamic.
So is there no dynamic or collab that could be Action SA and DA again?
No.
Herman hates...
Bro,
Herman hates the DA.
He hates it.
Yeah.
And he hates it because they pulled him out or didn't back him enough when the chips hit the floor.
Sure.
And then when he says, in his own words, this is not my words, his words were, I started to back doing things and moving services to black areas more than what was happening.
Sure.
And the powers that be, FedEx, DA, whatever, were like, no, but like, why not put this thing at Parkhurst? Why not fix like a
sand down?
And he's like, no, but if those people become restless, we're going to have an issue. Hence why everybody who doesn't know what Herman's program was when he was mayor under the DA will know one thing, that Herman went into and made us all aware about the critical and dire situation of the CBD.
So
immediately you start to understand. Everybody knows, to save Johannesburg, you have to take back the CBD.
You have to take back the CBD.
And on that basis, to take that back means one thing. Reappropriate the buildings that are there so that the black middle class South Africans who are legally here can move into that, and you can start saying rents in the CBD will start at R4,000 for a single.
Sure, what a change.
And that will completely change. Then what happens if people move there? And my business, one of my businesses back in 2016, we had an office in the CBD.
Mm.
When the CBD looked like it was trending up, we were in Brown.
When Maboneng
was on the rise. Yeah. Yeah.
So I champion this whenever I'm in front of people who are city officials, etc. I say, fix the CBD, make the CBD half the price of anywhere else in the regions of Johannesburg, one, for office space. So then I know as a young man who's built a business, bro, it makes no sense for me to be anywhere else but the CBD.
Sure.
What then starts to happen? Create districts within the CBD, get me to stay in the CBD. So this building, for instance, like Anglo-American has just left the building on Main, down Main at the corner there. I forgot what they've now called the Main. But there's a nice strip there that goes from where Zurich Bank and all those things were, mm-hmm. all the way to Gandhi, right? To Gandhi Square. You but fix that area.
Where those old banks and stuff.
Yes. Like, yeah. You fix the those staff. Areas. Mm. You get us. Remember, my staff now already live there. You get penthouses. They say, you can get a nice penthouse, thingy in the CBD. It's going to cost you 10 grand.
Sure.
10 grand a month.
The Franklin.
But now, what's happening there now, it's a good point. Bop. Like, puzzling.
100%.
And when was this? 2016, 2017?
Sure, yeah. That's when you stayed.
It looked like it was the vibe.
Yeah.
But then now, yo.
Even Maboneng suffered from the same thing. Mm. So what this is why this conversation is important is to say, when things come right, will things come right only for the people who are in the minority, but we must state this, are the most economically productive.
Yeah, they're the ones paying. So, like you started, said, how much am I paying versus how much am I getting?
100%. So it makes sense to make Joburg work for everybody, but where do you start? Now, the DA is probably going to say, let's start where the taxpayers are.
Sure.
Whereas the action essay will be like, let's do Alex. Both, but it might not make enough impact on both. But when I go to Pretoria, I see the change in Pretoria.
Sure.
I literally see the change in Pretoria. No one's going to lie to me and say Pretoria is the way that it was in the past.
Mm.
Right? And it was under the DA. We have to say that.
Yeah.
Right? They were in power. But people will want to change the dynamics around that. So the Helen Zille conversation around mayoral candidacy is going to hinge on the fact that can she resonate with the middle class who can afford to stay in the north, and the people who are in the upper middle class and those. And I don't know if she can resonate. The mainstream media will push her. You're going to see more and more 100%. Of her. That's why that Anile,
that's why the Anile
interview was, I don't think she got the, I don't think she came off well in that interview. And there's even other interviews, right, where she was asked ideologically about the Palestine issue, the Gaza issue.
We've got
and
a video
I think we've got, yeah.
The newsroom, I think it's a newsroom interview. Yo, do we have that, no? Please run it. Sorry to cut
you. Yeah, it's cool.
Do you believe a genocide is taking place in Gaza?
Well, genocide is a very big word. I haven't been to Gaza and I don't know. But I certainly do know that Hamas has spent all its energy trying to obliterate the state of Israel. And the most critical point is that they must both recognize that each has the right to have a state and to live in peace side by side. And once that happens, we can solve this problem. And nothing we say or do, and no posturing at all, is going to change anything in the Middle East.
Well, you're essentially a government in waiting, so it's important to ask these questions and to know exactly what the Democratic Alliance's stance on it is. Because after May 29, if the Democratic Alliance, for instance, does become the majority party, or even through a coalition, we would want to know what happens to the ICJ case, for instance. Would the South Africa, under the leadership of the Democratic Alliance, say, no, let's pull out of that? Would the stance, the international relations stance, of South Africa's change and shift from what it is currently?
Well, I'm not going to go into hypothetical questions. Let's get into government and then we'll discuss it.
Well, I'm going to ask you questions about what happens when you come into government on education, for instance.
Good, do
and
that.
I'm sure you're going to have an answer for that. But what's the answer in relation to Israel in terms of your international relations approach once the Democratic Alliance is the government of the day, or if?
I've just told you what our answer is. Our answer is a two-state solution and anything that promotes a two-state solution.
And would the Democratic Alliance say pull out of the ICJ case?
I'm not in a position to answer that question. We haven't discussed this. I'm not the person sitting here alone taking a decision on behalf of the Democratic Alliance.
I'll ask you this question again, but differently this time. This week, a UN Commission of Inquiry has found that indeed a genocide has been committed in Gaza. So I ask you again, does the Democratic Alliance believe that a genocide has taken place in Gaza?
The Democratic Alliance has not discussed that particular issue. What we do discuss is the issue of what we propose to solve the problem. And what we propose to solve the problem is a two-state solution. And we're very pleased that a lot of the rest of the world is converging behind that idea. And that is premised upon both sides recognizing that the other has the right to have an independent and free state that can live in peace, recognizing the right of the other to exist.
Netanyahu says he will not allow for an independent Palestinian state.
I can't comment on Netanyahu. I'm not running for a mayor in Israel or Palestine or Gaza. I'm running for mayor in Johannesburg.
Helen Ziller, thank you very much for your time.
Let me say something.
I empathize with the interviewer.
Let me say something. Helen Ziller is like a Xhosa gent who's just been caught cheating. He's like, man. Mamela.
Mamela.
Baby. Come on, jump me prior.
Baby. Imoto yakwazi ukusuka apha ihambe iye pha baby. I can't drive itself.
Imoto bekuza kuzimasa. It wasn't me.
Yakhumbula last week when I said to her, hayibo lo mjita, kutheni ufuna ukukhupha imoto yam? The uyo
wayo. Yeah,
no, like genuinely speaking, right? That's where.
Baby.
So the interesting shift here is that ideologically, does she match with the people that she's trying to bring onto her side, which is the black middle and the middle upper class? Does she match on that issue?
That
yeah
is someone who doesn't care about the issues in Alex. That is someone who doesn't care about. The issues in you can name all the hoods in thingy. Any lower, you know, what's considered lower class.
Yeah.
She doesn't give a fuck about that.
No, it's true because
if you go look at where she's currently running.
That's the other thing, bro. Like, I must say that where the rubber meets the road is what we can definitively work off is the track record of Cape Town.
Sure.
And has Cape Town gotten better during her tenure? And subsequently after her tenure, really, like all of Cape Town, has it gotten better?
No.
Or a section of Cape Town?
You mean her tenure or the DA's tenure?
She's running under the banner of the DA. But
which has been running Cape Town
for years.
Since. So I'm saying, when you were mayor of Cape Town, right?
Sure.
Were things definitively better?
Of course, I'm fine.
So, and we can't answer that because I wasn't living in Cape Town during that thing. Iconal. So that's literally what I have on Helen Ziller. And I think because we are having an opinion-based thing with some factual inferences, people can feel free to just jump in the comments and tell us, Zimasa, you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, Helen.
And then we can have it out there.
Yeah.
And I'll be in the comments as well for this video and we can have it.
Sure.
And the bots.
Well,
I'll talk to the bots as well.
After what you've said now, I'm also hoping for Herman Mashaba.
Yeah.
I think I did say it in my tweets. I said, look, to be quite honest, Helen Ziller would be better than Dada Moreira.
Oh!
And I said, but she won't be as good as Herman Mashaba. Because of what you said is that his CBD plan, unfortunately, because he doesn't own Stratcom and the like, as soon as he started implementing his plans, he was attacked. He was xenophobic.
We don't like him.
But the fact of the matter is, even Panyaza Lesufi recently spoke about the fact that the informal settlement.
There's a problem.
See, these people are taking advantage of our respect for human rights.
Who's this?
Illegal foreigners that come in Lesufi. And set up
structures.
Like squatter camps and stuff.
Inside buildings.
Yes, informal structures. And I work in the CBD. Our office is in the CBD. The CBD is fucked.
Yeah.
And it's fucked because of that seeding of what we had as an asset over the years is why the Franklin is now no
what
longer
it is.
The Franklin that it was.
Sure.
And why your Hillbrows and your Marshallstowns, these are places
we
that
need
can sit without water
honestly,
for 9 days.
We need to be
and
assholes.
No one thinks it's alarming.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Speaking of water, bro, I mean, we also have this you know crazy water crisis.
Bro, like our office is now in Parkhurst. 2 weeks back, we only fully getting back into the office this week. Mm. The water pressure still hasn't come back in the Parkhurst area.
Mm.
And this is, like, it's ridiculous. And all of this has to do with the dams, the Hurst Hill and Eikenhof dams.
Sure.
The reservoirs.
How have they still not been fixed? It's ridiculous to me. Because
even if you go back 2 years, I think 2020, 2023 is when this thing was also really up.
Brought up.
Then they said, we're going to fix them. Mm. If you're going to put people through pain by saying, a reservoir, we're going to do maintenance, literally tell us it's going to be 3 months of hell. This is how we're going to fix it. But it will never come back again because this is what we're doing. Mm. We're putting in new piping. We're putting new things. We're putting 5 or 50 new pumps. We're doing this, we're doing that. We're actually building an extra reservoir that when this one is full, it can also do a thing. We're going to put it on this hill. Sure. We've now taken... That's what we're not doing. And that's why the Eskom conversation has changed. Because Eskom realized that they need to fix fundamental things and not patch things up. Mm. Because a patch is always going to break.
Sure.
If you don't fundamentally fix things, they were like, that particular power station doesn't work. So we've got to bring it back online fully. So take off Coburg for 6 months if you have to. And then after that, it will never go offline again.
Yes, then move to Tutuga. Then move to Kusile.
This thing of patch work on the water crisis, on the water situation in Joburg, is why people say Dada must leave.
Yeah, but Dada also just doesn't have the answers. And I think like what PH was saying about who does the ANC have, like in terms of what does the reserve bench look like?
Yeah.
If Dada is the best foot that they could put forward, I think it speaks volumes of zero depth. Because the other thing is when he comes in front, I don't blame him because it's such a fuck show. What can he say?
Yeah. Well, he did say that. Don't expect anything from me for 3 years.
What can he
say? I mean, bro.
What's wild? Like, I don't even blame him, boss.
Do not expect any fireworks from me for 3 years.
And I think just lastly on this topic, that's why there is a quiet semigration of young professionals who can afford to do so and work remotely to coastal areas.
Mm.
That's why. Mm. Black and white, colored Indian, everybody suddenly go, Josie, I... Like, we still can't deny the economic prowess of this place.
Sure.
The connections, the fact that deals get done faster than anywhere in the country, all of these things, they make sense.
Yeah.
But suddenly you look at quality of life. I know of an official right now, right, who works at a state company, and she was like, broski, like, I just flew in from Durban. It was a Monday morning. She's like, I flew in from Durban. I'm here for 3 days. We get to work 2 days off the thing. By Wednesday night, I'm gone. I'm back to Durban. Mm. And I spend 2 days working from my house in wherever.
Oh, okay.
In Mhlanga and Palito. And yeah, I'll see you next Monday. Suddenly, that has opened up a bigger thing. And a lot of these problems have very much been inoculated in the context of Durban and eThekwini because of how they've done the things. We know that the CBD in eThekwini is struggling, but it's being revived because I went to South Beach and I was like, it's looking nice. South Beach is looking nice.
True.
I can't lie.
They fight back.
Then. Yes. Mm. Now, what's happened is that the fastest growing area property-wise in South Africa is what one of is the Durban North Coast.
Yeah,
and a lot of guys that I know, very like even people that everyone knows, but I obviously won't say where people stay now, they've moved down to Palito. They've moved down to Salt Rock. They've moved down to Mhlanga. Because you're closer to an airport and you can connect to Joburg and it's like 700 rand to fly back to Joburg.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you're generating north of 50, 60K, you can afford to fly down twice a week to Durban and up and down. And if you've got a better quality of life, you've got because the North Coast past Mhlanga is traffic is easier, things are better, the lifestyle's better. So suddenly people are saying to themselves, us millennials are actually saying, maybe, and schools are better. It's like, hey, let me just send my kids down there, right? And have that. So that's why this Johannesburg, Helen Zille conversation is important, because you're going to see a mass exodus and it'll be another conversation of us ceding our spaces.
Mm. The ceders.
Onto other things, like I said, man.
Onto
this episode,
our mate, eh?
Yeah. Kwanaz, yo.
Kwanaz.
If we could call this them.
That's why we're also comfortable to move down to eThekwini. Because Kwanaz! Kwanaz!
Safety! Listen, obviously, I don't think since the commission has thing, we've spoken about it, eh?
Nah. I think we only spoke about it the week that it started.
The week that it started.
Because he pulled up and he was like...
Yeah, so...
He wasn't even drinking any of the water.
Hey, brother! Listen. No shaking hands, no drinking water.
He's here.
But it was a slight one.
Even the ones were just like, what? Should I be fist bumping you?
No, it's just like, my nigga, you never greet me. What is this?
I saw how you... There was a long video. Bro, there was an awkward moment. I was like... at least 15 seconds of deciding whether or not I'm going
to... I like how steely and stoic he is. You know, like he's just... He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, no,
bro,
yeah,
I've never seen a gent name names like how he's named names. Mm. I've never...
With such confidence.
Haibo. Yeah. Like he will have your name in his mouth. You're like, yeah, no, PH. Yeah, he's the one. Send me a WhatsApp. In fact...
Yes.
In fact, can you show this on the screen? Yeah, our page is same. He said he knows that who's gonna be head of what. Sure.
I thought it was funny that, you know, the Stratcom proves again. When he was making those statements, there were so many articles, Times Live.
O'Sullivan was. O'Sullivan must have used AI. The way that he got things out so quickly.
You see?
Puzzling.
And he must have phoned every journal in that group that they're in to say, hey,
this is the line of March.
Yeah, we need to hit back. Because all of a sudden, you know, articles were coming out talking about how he's making these statements without evidence. And then I'm like, but this is not that show.
Yeah.
This is the show where the man has already said in the initial press conference,
there will be.
This is what I have.
And I will hand it over.
Sure. I don't have an issue. But you need to know that X, Y, and Z. Now to say, yeah, but where's the evidence?
The journals want the evidence to be emailed to them.
Yes. Sure.
The journals want the evidence to be mailed to them. It's like, Haibo.
Like, who are you?
Who are you? Like, Karen Moon. Which Jambisil, Karen Moon?
Jambisil.
Had an article. I'm not sure which publication it was. She has an article, and she's like, yeah, but there's no evidence. I said, what do you mean?
Like, have you been on his phone? Do you know?
Should we send it?
Sure.
Should he send it personally to you?
Sure.
It's weird, man.
So, it's been troubled now this past week because the advocate... he's decided, or he has stated that he wants to resign, like from the commission.
I wonder why.
Now, he hasn't stated why.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think, you know, in the court of public opinion, what Mkhwanazi did, right, initially with his initial press conference in July, got the people on his side. Because obviously people are shocked but happy to know that, yo, what we've been thinking is actually what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? That's number one. Whether or not O'Sullivan and others can come out and say, oh, but Mkhwanazi himself is not clean. We don't care.
Shut up your face.
Then, when the commission is on the go, you've got senior people, because it's the same advocate that was on the VBS. He wrote the VBS report, right? Yeah. So, the guy's credible.
Yeah.
Now, for him to be saying, "I yabo minang right," it means, what did he see there?
Or Ziakala somewhere.
You understand what I'm saying? For him to say, I don't, we consider him to be a credible man because, you understand, of the VBS thing.
Yeah.
So for him to say he's out, it begs the question, what is actually happening? And I think it just harms public faith in this whole commission even more.
So to jump on, obviously, harming public faith, I think commissions in themselves, and you say this offline.
Yeah.
Name one
person.
No, not one person. One commission that has bared fruit of...
criminal conviction.
Yeah, arrests or anything of that. So I think
they
for me...
capture,
and we've even said it many a times on the show, where it's just like a commission is a delay tactic.
It's a cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out. It's a waste. It's not a waste of time, but it's a
delay tactic. Can you imagine if the commission was actually a actual court with jurisdiction? With
judge, jury, and execution.
And all of the things that we're hearing would not be in a report, not come out in a report. They would come out as a judgment.
Sure.
Yeah.
They'd come out as a court judgment.
Yeah.
So it would be a completely different stake.
Sure.
Because you're finding other people deciding that they want to be part of this thing by implicating themselves and going and doing media briefings. It's like, no one asked you. We didn't even know about you. Now you've put your face and your thing there. You're panicking about something.
This is that EMPD guy.
Yeah, the EMPD guy.
The blue light.
He just decided.
During this phase again, the commission will also hear evidence from witnesses who will corroborate the allegations made by Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi. These witnesses will include, but are not limited to, the National Commissioner, General Masemola, being the person to whom Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi was reporting. Evidence of members of the task team will be heard. Detectives involved in the investigations will testify. Prosecutors and other various experts will testify during this phase. And importantly, evidence will be led during this phase by Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi to indicate the steps, if any, that he took internally and perhaps even externally to report these allegations prior to going public. In other words, are the three events prior to the media briefing the only ones, or are there additional steps that he took? And if so, what are they? How did he take those steps? With whom did he communicate? And did those people act on them or not?
They're now persecuting the whistleblower.
Yeah, they're persecuting him, Mkhwanazi. It's like, how did you come about this information? Who did you share it with?
I am the national, I am the provincial commissioner of police. It's my work. Literally, that's like going and asking like the auditor general, where did you find these numbers? Yes. What do you mean?
It's my job,
it's
bro.
Literally every day I go there and I look at numbers.
Yeah, that's why it was so questionable. I was listening to Koko Aubrey Mashiqi and Prince Mashele on SMWX. And both of them said, like, in the intel briefings, the president is briefed on all this stuff.
Knows about it, yeah.
He's briefed directly, privately, top secretly.
Yeah.
So it's not to say the president is briefed
this
in
is
an
not,
email that could
new.
Be leaked.
It's not new, yeah.
It's not, it cannot possibly be new information.
I mean, they probably shred documents as well. Well, they shred them. After unless we take
If you
them,
don't
yeah.
tell me about it, you yeah. could be in shit. So you've got to come and you've got to brief the president.
Yes.
So, as the minister and the team of commissioners or whatever the case is. So he knew about a lot of the stuff that Mkhwanazi uttered in July.
Sure.
For him to then act surprised about it whenever he speaks about it publicly. It's almost like it's led to this now where the advocate is... He's not saying it, but he's saying it. He's like, yo, the whistleblower must just come and tell us everything.
So I think the other thing that's happening in South Africa is that South Africans they're annoyed at the way that things move and how slowly they move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said, again, speaking to my mate yesterday, I said one of the biggest issues that South Africa has now that we're not addressing fully is we're all holding our breath. Why are we holding our breath? We're holding our breath because we don't know who's next. We don't know who the next president is.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Because the data says to us that it might not be the gents who have been.
No.
And then what will it mean? And what it'll mean is there's a lot of things we don't know. The people that are starting to put their hands up, there's a lot of mainstream media articles about them and their dealings over the past 15 years.
Smolanyana.
And skeletons.
Smolanyana
right?
skeletons.
And it's becoming a trend. Now, why is this happening? It begs the question to ask, why is this happening? It's happening because the real power struggle is happening.
Sure.
The real one.
The behind the scenes.
Who is next in South Africa?
Mm.
Now, us as the normal folk who aren't and don't have those security clearances, we will make our inferences based off information we receive.
Sure. Mm.
Now, if a bulk of that information is telling us one particular thing, we start to feel like this might be the thing that's going forward. Why is this important? It's important because the conversation around whether someone knew information or not, we know that the modus operandi of the president is to take in information first and not to ultimately make a decision.
And not to act. Yeah.
And not to act as fast as what we think.
With one thought.
So
like,
things do happen. For instance, the SIU changed its, I would say, the feel of the SIU in the era of Cyril. Changed its way of work in terms of how it communicates. The SIU communicates on an almost daily basis now on all the cases that they do.
Mm.
And they have given South Africans, anyone who wants to know, a lot more
information
and transparency about the things that they are doing. Mm. If you want to know about a case and be like, what's going on with that National Lotteries thing where they were stealing money, go right now and they'll show you with infographics with all of these things.
100%.
So you start to understand that certain structures who were very secondary to our understanding of what it took to get things done in South Africa from a legal consequences perspective.
Yeah, like who actually goes and gets it done.
But in the same breath, South Africans would be like, Mara, what's the NPA doing? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and the issue of the NPA is a big issue in South Africa. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been there for a while now.
Bro.
So it can't be a conversation of like, yo, I can't get things done because of ABC.
Bro, we that time you had four know. Bars.
We don't know what your problems are because you don't hold press briefings on your operations. Mm, we don't want to know about your cases.
She literally speaks once a year.
Exactly. Mm. But if you look at the SIU, the SIU with, I don't know, is Brakeza still there?
Akhanyako.
I think he's still
there. Yeah,
bro. I know what's going on at the SIU. They have a vibrant social media presence for us, because us as the millennials, we don't get our news the same way we used to.
Shout out to whoever does the posting for.
I think I know who does, but I'll never say. And the music that they put.
The music selection.
Is perfect. And because it's relevant, and that's how I'm going to take the information in and know that, no, Mang Mang's house has been taken. This person was crying on an interview, but now their house has been attached. This thing's happening. All of these things are core chicken to farm. People feeling like something is happening.
Like stuff is moving.
Yes, to people that have done terrible things. It's very important that you understand that South Africans want action. Mkhwanazi brought this immediacy and action. 100%. So, and luckily for us, he's a person who can protect himself and is protected by the position that he holds. And dare I say, they are now stuck because they can't take him out. If they do, you're going to get a revolt.
Of course,
if anything happens to him, you're going to get a revolt.
Of course, yeah.
Because he is now the martyr, or not the martyr, sorry, he is the figurehead of the frustration that South Africans are feeling around things not being done fast enough.
Yeah,
you beg Elam for it. I can't even add.
You put it, man.
Yeah, put it. Now you beg Elam for it.
So the advocate, it's fine. He can resign.
Yeah, because what we really want there is this is the thing about media. Just to round this up and get into this thing about Ama Blue Lights and all of this. The one thing that you've got to understand here is that the media can't change the narrative when I'm watching it on television.
Sure.
And now they don't own the narrative.
They can't tell us to not believe our eyes.
Remember what media is. Media used to be the people that would translate what is happening in commissions, because we would never be there.
Sure.
Now, the stimuli and our phones have allowed us to get anyone who decides, I want to clip this thing and put it on because I feel passionate about this, they can do that and put a clip out, and that clip goes viral. Like the clips of Mkhwanazi's closing statements at the commission.
Sure.
That thing has gone viral and is now an edit where the guy is saying, look, no matter what happens, we've got to fight for the country. I want all of the people, the Paulo Sullivans and that Professor De Haas or whatever, to come here to the same commission.
Yes.
Now remember,
and he named them by name.
If I'm an editor, I would then say to somebody, if I'm an editor who's against Mkhwanazi, I'd say, no, mention everything that Mkhwanazi said and say that some of these have not been substantiated and full stop. But because most South Africans would not have watched the thing for 5 hours.
Sure.
You understand? But at the same time, social media allows for people to clip the moments that they feel are the most important, and that becomes part of the ether. So they can't shape narrative anymore. But the issue then goes to these guys with Blue Lights and some of those people that were there. Now they've gone and started to implicate themselves by going and saying, no, Mina, I didn't do anything wrong about that thing. But it's like, you're panicking.
Mm. Yes, because now you're like, yeah, he called me, but I mean, I didn't
do it.
Yeah. I was just at his house, bro.
I just want to add to just add to what you're saying about the attention on this thing.
Yeah,
I think I spent an entire Friday from like 11 o'clock till 4 o'clock when those guys closed.
Yeah,
I was cutting my hair, cleaning the house, in the shower, everything. Yeah. Literally, I was on.
Yes,
like, there's nothing I didn't miss.
Yes.
They can't change
that narrative.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah. There's nothing I didn't miss.
Because now you invested.
Yeah, I was like, yo, yes. And I think the one thing that I appreciate about Mkhwanazi is that he's factual. He knows how to tie in one thing from the other to the other to the other.
He's
because
well
he's an investigator. He knows how to do this thing. And also the language he uses to make things simple for us.
Yes.
Remember, Mkhwanazi is not talking to the media there. This is why the media is annoyed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mkhwanazi is talking and was placing evidence for the commission and for the South African public.
Sure.
If you notice how he put things, he would always say, it's going to be important for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would say, commissioners, understand that this.
Yeah.
So he knows his audiences, not the people in between, not the media.
Yeah.
Mkhwanazi is placing it.
And he explained what is a docket.
Yes.
And where does it start? Where does it end?
And he places it for the commissioners who don't work at the police, right?
Yes.
And he places it for South Africans. So this guy can't come tell me in the middle that, no, Mkhwanazi didn't say the right things.
Mm.
No, Mkhwanazi was speaking to these guys to log stuff into the record of the commission, and he's putting here so that every South African to understand, how does the docket get lost?
Sure. Even white people are like, makes sense to me.
Yo, this is okay. This is Mkhwanazi,
bro. He's really put trust in South Africans that there is positivity when it comes to policing.
There are some
there are some
really really determined. Yeah.
There's many very good police.
Yeah, many. Yeah.
The guys that I think are there because it's a calling.
Yes.
Yeah. Bakona.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Konala.
Cool drink. What's next?
Speaking of one of those police. No, just play that blue lights clip. I just want to touch on the point that you raised earlier about people implicating themselves.
But the city didn't put any blue lights. You see, I was part of those processes. I didn't put blue, the city didn't put blue lights. You see, there are no blue lights that were put out in the police. That story comes from within individuals that wanted to destroy somebody's name and deal with character assassination.
Right. Now, that man said fuck all. He just said words and he via.
Wishy-wish.
Head of EMPD, big boss there by EMPD.
Yeah.
He seems to be the guy who allowed for blue lights to be installed emotweni zaboket matala spanbani, right? Now, what you said about him implicating himself, he didn't have to make that statement.
He didn't. He did.
He should have just kept quiet.
Speak it's through kind lawyers.
Of, yes,
speak through.
That's it. Because now it's looking like my bror. It's looking like you are the one who approved the blue lights for PH.
Yeah, there's no media training.
You know what I'm saying? It's looking like you actually communicate directly with PH via Zimasa.
Yes.
Where Zim is like, yo, PH is hitting me up for these blue lights and you like, yeah,
and he
do
needs
it.
Them so he can get through traffic.
Right?
Sure. Because then the question is like, what were you moving?
Why? And who is this guy?
What were
you
moving? What were you moving? What were you moving? Do you remember? It's almost like blue lights, and we have to paint this picture for South Africans. Blue lights are like diplomatic passports.
Yes. So and not allowed.
They are not allowed. They are not stopped. Mm-hmm. There's only these people can have them. And more often than not, even the president has to have the seal to say, I'm using blue lights.
PPS. PPE.
Yes. Yeah. When you see unmarked black cars with blue lights, there will always be a police escort. Mm-hmm. This is important for people to understand. The police escort is to say, these vehicles behind me with the same lights as me are authorized to have this because it means they can't be stopped until they get to their destination.
100%.
This is so key for South Africans. No one can have these lights.
I don't see a lot of that because I always see a BMW X3 by itself speeding
and
blue lights.
It should be stopped.
Yeah.
Because even every... this one time, so this one time, for some of the work that I do, I got a ride in a blue light convoy.
Sure.
Right? Hey, nigga, I clip you land. So I got to understand more.
This man implicates
please, I want him to restructure this. We'll delete it.
Wendy,
please.
Let's hear it first.
Please
make note of this time.
No. In the work that we do, we do strategy with multiple people around communications.
Sure. Mm.
So from time to time, the person doesn't have time. Sure. So you have to be in the car with them to run them through a strategy. And these are public servants everywhere. I've worked across the aisle. I've worked any party you can think of. Mm. I've done work with them, right? Sure. So the idea was that I needed to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And I remember that on this particular day, we couldn't move because there wasn't an authorized escort.
Right.
Because they need to let people know that, hey, there's a blue light convoy that's moving from here to there. And on the route, we'd like to be escorted for certain sections of it. Mm-hmm. So that, one, people know that we're not just randoms, right? And also for the legitimacy of what we're trying to do.
Sure.
To move from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Sure.
This is why I'm saying in South Africa, random blue lights, bro, it's very tough for people. And it works. It's a tough situation because of the criminality element that exists in South Africa. Dude. Because if someone flashes blue lights to you, it's tough. It's like, are these people, should I stop? Should I not stop?
But it hits you with that thing where you're like, shit, I need to stop.
Yes.
And it might not always be.
And that's why a lot of people will say to you, if you're going to stop, rather Fagama hazards, slow down to 40 kilometers per hour, get into the emergency lane, and drive slowly to a common point of a filling station, a common point
A neutral point.
A neutral point where you can then get out and talk to the people and you can take your thing out the window and say, come with me, let's stop there.
Yes.
Because we understand the reality that we stay in South Africa and we've got to be vigilant of how we operate.
Sure.
But what we also know is that there's people who are abusing the authority that blue lights give them. Yes. I mean, this type of stuff happens in like third-rate countries where an artist will land and then there's police that go with them.
It's happened to me.
Exactly. I'm on PhD, I'm on blue lines, my finger to these other countries.
My finger is Zimbabwe.
Like, and that's something, and that's something that shouldn't happen unless there is right and expressed authority to do so. When you bring a global act here for that thing, because the police are operating your jock and your voc at the venue, they can go help bring the person from the airport or their place of residence to that thing. That's the only time where you can see a celeb type person in a blue light brigade.
Yes.
It can't be just every Tom, Dick and Harry. That's why this thing matters, guys, because it's not, we're highlighting this not because it's just a simple thing where, hi, bro, what were they doing? Because the question is, what were they moving in those vehicles?
Mm. Well, Kat Matlala was moving his hand. He was moving his hand. the hand was moving from point A to point B. Because you know what I said?
Yeah.
On the topic of people implicating themselves.
Yeah.
Is when the blue lights thing was being discussed.
Yeah.
The clips that were being shared to corroborate the story.
Yeah.
Were of the hand.
Yeah.
Filming herself.
Oh, yeah.
Then filming them driving in the blue lights. And I'm like,
I've seen a few dollies actually under those
lights. You understand what I'm saying? Now you think to yourself, what the fuck? Did you not brief the hand to say, baby,
please don't
blue light.
Please don't
post.
Honestly speaking, if you run a security company, you understand the protocols, right?
No, of course.
Even Nama white lights, you can't just decide.
Yes.
Light are these things and I want to go.
Yes. I escort hands from A to B. I tell them, bitch, don't post shit.
Sure.
Like, you should still keep quiet.
Don't post my arm.
You understand? Don't post my arm. Don't post who's driving you. Just sit and keep quiet.
Sure.
Because she literally, unbeknownst to her, let's put it that way, she wanted to flex.
Yeah.
She flexed at the time and it was like, yo, big boss.
Yes.
Now it's come back to bite them in the ass. Now this Brahma's going to do interviews he doesn't have to do. Now Mkwanazi.
For a small story.
Literally a lift to the airport. You understand what I'm saying? Bagland and Lini. Airport. Now you posted it to say, look, check me out. You know, the whole thing is
move residential.
Yeah. And people were commenting and saying, because there's a lot of this, honestly, a lot of the downfall of a lot of these guys is all bags. Yeah. The fuck.
Dollies.
Yeah.
There's another one that they posted where Angazi, like, she jumps out of a Rolls Royce, yeah, bro?
Yeah.
We are pose. Shail is in a white suit, in a white Rolls Royce, with like an office park or an office building behind. And then people were like, why are these ones posting? Ngati, they've built multi-million dollar businesses. Yeah, yeah. Ngati, you're posting at your own office park.
Yeah.
To say, look at me in my business suit with my Rolls Royce and my office behind me.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we know who you are, bitch. Like, what's going on
like,
here?
We know your real life.
We know your real life. People and we know you are the whore bag. Why are you posting this nonsense? Because you're implicating your dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And then, again, it's all because of Dolly's
dog. I know, just to close this off, I know of a, like a massive Instagram, I wouldn't say, she's not a baddie, just a
Dolly.
Yeah, Dolly. So, and she was called to testify against her dude. And the dude went for a long time because she sang. And then she had to leave social media. She's now making a comeback via friends and whatever. But she left. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what happens. Because this life, right, that you live is not sustainable.
Sure.
And people always say this. But when it becomes criminal in nature and it implicates you, it's even worse.
Hey.
So she had to go testify to get out of going to jail.
Sure. Herself.
Herself.
Sure. So but in so doing.
Yes, that guy had to go. That guy's in jail now.
Yeah, of course.
Well, one
and
must go.
And this happens.
And the hand was like, no, not
the
me.
Same situation is unfolding, yeah, because the brood is in jail now and all the people that helped him are doing interviews. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
baddies don't post. In fact, baddies maybe don't even live there.
No, they must keep posting.
Yeah? Yeah.
No, they must
so
keep posting.
See,
yes!
So we can see.
They're saying the wrong things. They're posting.
Yeah, no.
But I won't speak about who I tweeted about because you know the story. But
Banyise. Hey, food tech. Food tech.
Hey, there's going to be so many cuts in this.
Hey, food tech. I actually can't. I've forgotten about that shit. Don't, bro.
Don't.
So anyways, there's this interesting thing about Gayton.
Warwick, don't.
So Gayton, Mackenzie, current sports minister, he was saying that he wants to resign if Kenny wasn't allowed back in to be MMC of transport in Johannesburg. Now,
he said he's going to resign. The PA will leave the GNU.
Yeah.
I think he gave his niggas till Tuesday.
Yeah, he raised the stakes. So I think on Friday, I stand corrected, but I think on Friday, Kenny was sworn back in. I saw a picture of him being sworn back in. Because
I also saw an article saying CR basically said,
Do it.
Yeah, like he doesn't want them to leave the GNU, basically.
Yes, because of the potential that the PA has. Everybody's playing a bigger game. How many of the smaller parties can we bring into our sphere of influence?
Mm.
That's what the DA is fighting for. Mm. So, but the Kenny play is it was never going to happen, because one of the things that I think, and I saw someone allude to this on a podcast, they were like, he's not going to do that because of how much mileage this gives him and subsequently the PA.
What? GNU position?
The GNU position.
No, definitely.
It's massive. For him to say, I would leave this position, would push the PA down the pecking order in terms 100%. Of relevance, media relevance,
100%.
And thus being able to show other potential voters, that this is the work that we do as the PA.
Sure.
The other thing that I think the PA has is not enough people in the right positions to show us the work that they do, like what the Action SA does.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I know a lot more Action SA people around the country than I do of PA. And I guess that's why, like, a Liam Jacobs and it brought into the fold,
yeah,
etc.
Because you need more Liam Jacobses.
Yes, because you need younger people who have the drive, who are more
and
well-known.
And now, like Kutele, they're doing something.
They can be on the ground, because on the ground is where you get the base of people who can vote for you. Because people will refer to the moments where they remembered, you fought for us here, you fought for us there, which is where and how the EFF also grew. The EFF, very strong student presence. And on any campus, if you go there, they'll say, hey, EFF is there, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And they're fighting. And genuinely speaking, most people would say, if I have issues with like registering or whatnot, you go to the EFF student office. And if that becomes a thing, you'd know that there's young guys. And that's why Osihle and all these guys from the EFF, they've come from those structures and they're now in parliament, etc. So there's a development of talent. You need younger people coming through the political structures.
What Youth League would have dreamed to be.
And was supposed to be. Yeah, that ship is far away. It's sailed. So, so ultimately, the whole Gayton McKenzie saying he was going to leave would cripple the development of the PA, and it would never have made sense. But for the posturing of trying to get the people who need to make the decisions to make the decisions, it's important to get, because you have to understand, how do you get onto the president's desk? How do you become an issue? By becoming a national issue.
Yeah.
If you don't become a national issue, like a president can't be deciding guti in King Sabata Talinjebo, KSD municipality there, there's an issue with an MMC. You can't call the president for stuff like that. Sure. But if it becomes a national issue, and they say
he's got pressure now.
He must put it onto his agenda that when he meets with the relevant people who have to ultimately enact his thing, he has to say, take care of that thing in KSD.
So quickly.
Take care of the thing in Mangaung. Take care of that Kenny Kunene thing. So that's why the Kenny thing had to be escalated, so it gets onto the president's desk, so that those who are in a position at regional level and aren't making the decision to say Kenny must come back in now that he's been somewhat cleared or whatever, then those people are not making the decision. I have to elevate this conversation to a national conversation, because I have a national platform as the head of the PA and as the minister, as the head of the PA and its caucus within structures, parliamentary structures. So they have to listen to me.
Well, he pulled his move. He made a TikTok. Yeah. And, you know, his shit goes viral. He just speaks freely there. Not always a good idea, but it definitely has that national impact. My thing is, what does it do now? Because, you know, Kenny being at KT Mulefe's house was a fuck up.
Right?
The story he then told afterwards on the news and every interview he could.
With the journalists, with the junior journalists.
Yeah, it was a fuck up. You know what I mean? And I like Kenny. Nah. He's my dude. I like him. Full disclosure, in case I'm a whistleblower. In case I get caught in anyone's house.
Cut.
I like the brood, right? I say it to say that at the time that it happened, the way he was judged in the court of public opinion, not a good look. For a politician, not a good look. For MMC, bad, right? So I believe they followed...
too many interviews as well.
Blind. I believe they followed the right steps. Yeah. Where Gayton came out and said, yo, this guy has to step down.
Yeah.
I'm removing him.
Yeah.
He came through and he said, yo, I cannot hold this position until the investigation is conducted.
Yeah.
The investigation, and the commission could learn something from this, was conducted in a month.
Fast.
Independent law firm came in. They cleared him of whatever wrongdoing. As I say, like, I don't know. Yeah. None of us know. But he's been cleared.
Yeah.
So now the precedent that's been set is, I was implicated in something.
I left.
I resigned. Chief, I didn't collect the salary.
Put me back in, coach.
Right. But now I've been cleared and I need my position back.
Yeah.
And from a PA perspective, it's like, yo, you guys are our partner. We went and we did all the right steps.
Yeah.
Now we're back. You can't shut us out.
Yes. Mm. Your people are moving slowly down there.
Now you know what? You're going to make Kenny a martyr.
Yes.
By sticking to your guns and saying, yo, dog, you shouldn't have been at Katie Molefe's house.
Next year is local government elections and you're going to need to have conversations with people that you don't like and those that you like. So you need more people that like you.
You can't be making enemies now.
100%.
Sure. However, we do need to have a tough chat with all of this that's happening.
Yeah.
Right? About the fact that the allegiance between politicians and so-called underworld figures, businessmen, bro, it's a fuck up.
It's a problem.
It's really,
So I think it's...
And I think, look, let me just help you guys. A major step in the right direction is stop making your hands privy to what you're doing. Your speeches are posting this stuff. They're exposing you.
They're up there to see all of what you're saying.
Who?
Yeah.
Hmm? If you were
away? Delicious, huh?
Hey, cut.
Listen, I was somewhere this weekend where Ilang Aibona corner. I was like, you understand? Right. Look, we see it. Guys, we're in entertainment and we are big deals. So we we'll tell you guys for free because we are not wrongdoers.
Yeah.
But sometimes you find yourself in environments where you've got proximity to these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you see it happening and these are like a brewers, you understand?
Yeah.
Now we are also there for Mcholo and for
nice
the
times. Nice times,
bro. We're not there for the Madanga Commission.
I was there to DJ.
Cheers, Cooper.
So and I left.
I was there for an hour, 15 minutes.
I left.
And seven and a half minutes before, I was set. No, 7.5 minutes out.
A big chat online, right?
Yeah.
People are pulling a lot of celebrities, DJs, artists
into the chat conversation. But you took pictures of them.
Yes. But it became like, guys, it's like, you remember that time Arthur Mofokate took a photo with Nomza Mombat?
Yeah.
And then people were like, how can you take a photo with him, GBV?
Yeah.
If you've ever been around Arthur, you don't have a chance. The guy just comes and says, Zimasa. Bam. You understand? Like, he's so quick with it, dog.
Bam.
Literally, he'll come and be like, wara wara. Bah. He's got, Zimasa. He's got PH. Bah. We're still eating our chicken bone. the guy's ready.
He's
and he takes those ones.
He says, my muff, and he goes.
This is Arthur. He'll be like, okay. And then you're like, is this guy talking to me or is he reading the page?
Mm.
Then you see the picture on his story and it looks like he's going through the script. This is not even his paper, man. So it's all smoke and mirrors. So you can't like blame people for being closely associated. That's what I'm saying. I get the Kenny thing. I get that the optics are very bad, but I also understand it.
Yeah.
You understand? I could be photographed somewhere tomorrow and then next thing, Waras is a whistleblower. I'm not a whistleblower.
Got you.
I'm just a DJ.
But talking about entertainment, The landscape in South Africa is set to change with regards to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the 22nd of September, MultiChoice became a French-owned company outright.
And thank fuck, because we were waiting for that for quite a while.
And now it's set to change the landscape. It's set to change the landscape of how South Africa consumes its content, how Africa consumes its content. Because Canal Plus does have a lot to offer, but how will it change what's been happening in the entertainment industry? Remember, for people who aren't in the entertainment industry, you have to understand the power that MultiChoice as well as the SABC hold in everything creative that you see in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because I was explaining this to somebody and saying, when the SABC suffers, you feel it in your pocket because...
As a creator.
Yeah, as a creator and a creative. Because businesses... that operate in South Africa, you will work with a multi-choice and you'll work with an SABC.
Sure.
If one of those doesn't pay or come to the party around something, by the end of the month, your business is shaky.
I can attest to that for 3-4 years. I was in the mix between SABC and
multi-choice.
Yeah.
Now, what is happening here is that there have been massive changes at multi-choice.
Mm.
People like Calvo, Uncle Calvo, he's moved.
He's moved, right?
No, he's moved to head up operations in Africa.
Yeah, he's now Canal Plus.
So he's been taken out of that position.
Oh, he's been taken out of his CEO multi-choice role and put into
Canal Plus.
For Africa.
Africa, right? Not the entire sort of operation.
That nigga keeps winning.
I don't know if it's a win or not. Mm. Then there's the CFO obviously has been taken out as well. So those are the key positions you want to take over when you do take over.
That's not a takeover because to me it sounds like they're coming. Listen, the thing, multi-choice
there's now a handover, Warwick. Because
I was going to say multi-choice was kind of broken. I would assume Canal Plus is going to come in and say, thanks, cheers, bye-bye.
So what's key to understand about this is that they triggered a part of the Companies Act in South Africa that says after you go over a particular percentage, I think it was around 30 or 35%. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You then are obliged to make an offer to the shareholders to take all of the shares.
Okay.
So they for a large number of years have been not quietly because we know about it. They've been consistently buying shares. 6% here, 5% here, 6% there, 3% there.
The threshold.
Yes, to then be able to say we want to
take the whole thing.
The reason why this is important. You have to understand where the entire space of entertainment is going and content.
Sure.
Libraries are becoming very important.
Gold.
So your archive of content you have, the cross-syndication of content. I'll give you an example. The multi-choice spent reportedly 400 million on S1, season one of Shaka Ilembe.
Jesus.
Shit.
Now, that 400M in the South African context
is a lot. It's
huge.
Fuck load. That's
There's
massive.
No show that's come even remotely close to that. That's
why
it's so good.
Never heard of a bigger budget
now,
in my life.
Why this is important is that how do you recoup that money? You recoup it in South Africa, right? But Africa. The story of Shaka resonates immediately through Africa.
True.
And then secondarily, it's like what Vikings was to us as an audience who didn't know about the Vikings when it launched. You can then take this thing globally. Yeah. Then your 400 million rand
is easily recouped.
Canal Plus has distribution through Europe and Africa.
Gotcha.
And then what's core is that they never had the Anglo-speaking market, which is where multi-choice played a lot. Nigeria, South Africa, and other places.
Yeah.
Canal Plus had the Francophone market.
The French-speaking
people. Now they said, we need to combine these to create a proper asset base in Africa. Mm. Remember also, in terms of sport and everything, what is owned?
Sure.
Multi-choice has the exclusive rights of football, PSL as well, but EPL, throughout Africa.
Yeah.
But they're facing pushback across different markets around this because their entire business model hinges on people buying football and getting everything else.
Yeah.
Because it's subsidized across.
And if you want all the super sports, you've got to pay for
the premium package. Yeah. And a lot of countries, like in Ghana and I think Uganda, they've started to push back and saying, this model doesn't make sense because people are crying because
we just want the football, man. We're not trying to watch
100%
Discover.
But their model is not geared for that. So maybe now with the sugar daddy who's just come in as Canal Plus, also spend on content and they'll also be able to take content that was really great regionally that can now be dubbed in other languages like what Netflix does.
Yeah.
So it was important for Canal Plus to buy outright, to say, we're buying a library and we're buying the audience that they already have, which I think is something like 25, 23 million subscribers across the continent. Mm. And we'll be able to take all of the content that exists and relaunch the shows to different markets.
Yeah.
Because we know that the Lagos market would watch a South African show.
Would watch a Shaka Ilembe.
100%. Oh, they would watch a Shaka Ilembe.
Yeah.
Whatever they've created in Lagos, we do watch it. There's a lot of Nigerian shows that I even watch.
That do really well.
Especially when they are pushed to the middle class. Right? So it's like they live in Abuja, they live in Lagos, this couple and blah, blah. So you will that type of content. So this was a strategic play because you are, as you rightly say, the cash at multi-choice relative to what they could invest in growth was not there.
It was not there.
And everyone
was not making sense anymore.
We've come, and I think even the three of us, we've been closely kind of synonymous with multi-choice and its growth.
Sure.
Think from 2015 onwards, even
again,
before that.
We know these people. Doesn't make us criminals. We're not criminals.
So,
and we are not CEOs.
So we know what budgets multi-choice used to dish out.
Nama whistleblower.
We know what budgets multi-choice used to dish out.
Yes.
And those budgets no longer were there.
Now
it started to freak even the creators out to say, if anyone who's a supporting agency user, whatnot, you could get a simple contract and say, I'm going to be a publicity partner for Fox or Mzansi Wetu.
Sure.
You could live off that. Your company could live off that.
Yeah.
But when the money starts to dry up, they start to dry it up at the bottom there.
Got you.
Because those people who pay for access are not as valuable as the ones who pay for your compact and your premium.
Sure.
So suddenly those budgets dry up and people started to notice. So the money was not there anymore. But from a reporting perspective, it looked rosy until it absolutely didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, then there was...
Until it was carnage.
There was carnage at multi-choice.
When reports were coming out of how much they're losing annually, I was like, what the fuck?
Bro, Subscribers and revenue.
And they cut back, sorry, just to speak on what you were talking about. They were cutting back on how much they were spending on shows.
Yes.
Like, to a point where they were like, listen, we can only give you a licensing fee.
Yes.
We can no longer give you...
Commissioning budget.
They weren't commissioning any shows.
Like you go find the sponsor, they make it advertiser funded.
Yeah. OFC, what do they call it?
AFP.
AFP. AFP. To a point where just like, the only money we have is mint.
I don't think that Delicious next year will come back as a DSTV Delicious property.
I don't think so. I think it was Thingy's party, bro. I mean, what? They were sponsoring what, 50 million? Yeah,
it's not sustainable anymore.
50 mil, for
Delicious Fizz.
Yeah, to be headlined, Platinum sponsor naming.
Yeah,
right. I don't think. I think Lotto Star will take over. I had this discussion with Vince while I was there. Yeah, I think Lotto Star as a gambling and betting company.
They were secondary.
They will take it. I think they'll take it. It's almost like it's a no-brainer for them to take
Makes sense.
Right? Mm. You've got this headline event that brings in international artists. Mm. We're trying to elevate ourselves.
Pack it's like 2 days.
It's like how exactly? It's like how Hollywood Bets once sponsored certain segments of our things. The same way as how Betway sponsors the PSL. All of this is so that you can become part of the consciousness.
Hollywood Bets, Durban, July.
100%. Yeah. It's so that you can become part of the consciousness of society so that when I sell you something, you kind of like, I went to an event that they were associated with.
So the
multi-choice deal, I genuinely think that I have, and this is now the other side of it. We've had so many companies in South Africa, global companies, continental companies, that we as South Africa, and because you have to understand that the government of South Africa allowed this to happen. They allowed it to happen because MultiChoice, one of their biggest shareholders is the PIC, right? The Public Investment Corporation. That is our shareholding in MultiChoice, right? That is our primary shareholding as a people together. Then you can buy your own shares and whatever. That can be your secondary.
Mm.
But why this is important is because companies like South African Breweries, which were sold, till this day, this is the hill I'm willing to die on. We should have never sold SAB as a country. Because we built this thing. Like the government was meant to be there as an activist investor and say, we will not sell.
The Boers built it.
No, but of who was drinking?
Black Label.
Of whose throats? Pause. Pause.
But it's a national asset, Jens.
No, 100%.
Like, it's a national asset.
SAB is a fucking global.
Do you know why this conversation is so important, guys?
It was.
Because what if the same people, group of people who are meant to protect us will say, no, sell MTN? Like, think about this. Mm. Think about this stuff. It might be simple for us to have these conversations and be like, whatever. These are national assets. If you've built a company off South African consumers and South African ingenuity, we're protecting this thing. Mm. You should give the South African public the first right to save that company if it is failing, right? Give it to us.
So you actually just mentioned something. I watched something last night on YouTube and it made me realize that we have it good in South Africa. I think the UK, a lot of their
public infrastructure
is not owned. Yeah.
It's private. Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, so thingy, they don't. Heathrow's not owned by
Qataris.
The Qataris. Mm. Yeah. Bro, I was so shocked. Yeah. Water distribution,
electricity,
everything's
all
privatized.
It's all owned and by so companies that don't even.
I like. Yeah. Your right, PH, so. You've just.
That are not like UK.
PH,
UK
you've taken company. Me down. There's a video that I'm still crafting in my mind. It's part of my research list. There is what I call the Britannification of South Africa, and it's starting to happen. So, and what that is privatization and selling off of state assets.
Yes.
There are instances where public-private partnerships make sense.
So.
But then there are core things to the very running of the country that should never be sold.
Can't be sold, yeah.
So, energy
generation. Like water.
Yes, water, energy generation, those things are vital for the survival of and growth of the economy. Mm. In fact, any country that is growing, go and put a graph of growth and go put a graph of, and superimpose a graph of electricity generation potential and capacity and put those graphs together. You will more often than not see that as the country was growing, the availability of electricity in that country was growing at the same time.
100%.
When that thing starts to fight each other and one is growing and the other one is going down, the other one is set to follow down.
Yeah.
So this is core. So there's certain things that the state, us, this, I don't want people to divorce themselves from thinking the government is some entity that's too far away.
Sure.
We are the government. The government is a representation of the power that we give them.
Sure. Yeah, but that is just not the case.
But what are...
Wait,
in action, it isn't. But in name, in documents,
in theory,
those people are a representation of us, gentlemen. Sure. So at the end of the day, what we've got to get right here is that civic action is important, especially when there are, and it doesn't mean that we have to fight for everything. It means that those who are passionate about a particular issue should fight for that issue, and we should check these people all the time because they work for us. I can't stress that enough. We can't let there be factions within our people, our elected
within representatives. Our elected leaders,
yes, start to make outlandish things. For instance, if you have a particular person who holds a portfolio and they decide that they want to privatize half of the running of a particular department, let's say, for instances, Home Affairs, you're going to have an issue in a couple of years. You might not see it now and you might think this is great, but you're going to have an issue and you're going to wonder where it all started.
Sure.
And it starts with the hyper-privatization where the capacity should be internal.
Mm.
Like, 100%. You can't, like, I understand if, like, they have to build, like, sophisticated software. I'm like, I wouldn't expect my gov people to be there. Like, it's fine.
Sure.
But when you start to say the issuing of things needs to be outsourced, I go,
Chani.
Why don't you, and why this is key is because you do have centers of excellence within departments that were once failing that are starting to be turned around, in my opinion. The lived experience of me going to various, let's say, traffic departments versus me going to the waterfall department. Waterfall, everyone knows Waterfall is super efficient, and that's a government entity.
Sure.
But they've managed to get the right group of people there to
the
make
Waterfall
sure,
license department.
It's efficient.
I've been there. That's where I went for my license.
I was in and out in 15 minutes, including signing in.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, we know that it can be done right. That's why I worry when the Post Bank is not capacitated enough.
Because
that's how we should be keeping that thing. Because we should be distributing SASSA grants via the Post Bank.
Yes.
That is
and
your state.
And funny enough, when
that's
Mark Bond said that, they said, shut the fuck up. Mark Bond
was
the former CEO
of the Post Office. Yeah.
And he was like, yo,
this makes sense.
This is where grants should be channeled through. Sure. Why
not,
is it?
But then the top banks will then fight them.
Of course.
Because, hey, Baba.
Bro, that's billions. That contract is worth way too much to just...
Exactly.
But the top banks, private banks, and almost like the machinery that works to push those assets towards privatization is machinery that is, unfortunately, our leaders have a stake in that machinery.
Yeah, they own shares.
Now that's, and that's a fuck up.
But
because now what are you going
to
do? Dude, you're going
to
work in your own best interest.
So
I would sell Eskom if it was mine. The fuck?
We just need
to weed out corruption.
You can't... I think to just wrap up this whole thing, there's an issue that I have in South Africa, and that issue is that we don't have at the highest level, and I'm not even talking about politics now, I'm talking about the ruling class. We don't have agreeability that we will compete in South Africa and we'll combine our forces to go into SADC, into Africa, to then compete as the nation. Mm. We need a brand and a team South African strategy. So it doesn't matter if you are Muslim, you are black, you are Afrikaner, you are Jewish. We can singashaya nekaya and compete for resources. But when we go overseas, I say to you, hey, me, I'm a logistics company.
Yeah.
And you are an airline, but I'm cargo, you're whatnot. Dude, there's a huge contract to move stuff from South Africa to, let's say, Benin.
Yeah.
Let's combine and do a special vehicle and work there. Let's make money in the continent together. Hey, you are a retailer, right? And I am probably one of the biggest food producers in South Africa. We need to move food to Zambia. Let's work together and find a way to do this thing. Sure. But this thing, Yokshayana, starts to then become ideologically destructive.
Yeah.
Because then you are a guy. Now you're going to go find somebody else to work with who comes from outside of the continent even to help you move food from South Africa to Zambia or
when
to
you
other parts.
When you could have gone directly.
Mm.
And then that translates into these guys funding ideologies and not necessarily the progress of South Africa, funding ideological stances of political parties for their personal gain, not for the gain of South Africa.
Of the
guys,
nation. Yeah.
If South Africa, if this country moves its GDP by 5% consistently for the next couple of years, 5-6 years, bro, we could get to $400 to $500-600 billion US dollars in GDP every year. The pie gets bigger. Everyone chows. Mm. Everyone chows. So these guys, they're not combining forces. That's why you're going to find that with the aggregation, this is the thing that I worry about, with the aggregation of companies like CHMVH or whatever, like the fiber company that owns Vuma and Dark Vumatel, Vuma Coms and Dark Fiber Africa that's owned by Remgro and with the entire company, Johan Rupert. Can you imagine if that company now decides that because of what's happening and the political pressures from the US, that they do an EEIP, which is like BEE, but is actually an equity investment stake. And they take money from Tesla and they basically sell and say, okay, Tesla can operate via our things in the country. And we'll be the partner.
Starlink.
Yeah. They can be the partner in the thing. Like, why are we not combining our things? In fact, with Uncle Rupi being so like cash flush, why doesn't he just buy the stake, buy Vodacom, and Vodacom becomes a South African company in South Africa? Or these are the things that we are so like destructive of the value we've created as South Africans. It shocks me.
Yes, but you see, it requires people who are already nice to kind of join. Like what you said is that there's no united kind of we are together.
Yeah.
You know, let me do this for the nation.
Yeah.
Yes, they say they want to, but whatever they do needs to benefit them.
Yes.
It's very rare to find.
And there's no problem in there being inherent benefit in business deals.
Yeah.
There's no, I don't have an issue with that.
Profit is not a swell.
Profit is not evil, but can we make sure that the conditions, you know, like how tax in this country creates, or it's meant to create the perfect conditions for business to function. It's the same thing. If big business gives back by ensuring that the services they offer, other than taking profit, don't leave the consumer worse for wear. Because if I destroy the very lives of the consumers that I work with and I hope to buy my product, then what is this country going to become?
True, yeah. You're destroying
it doesn't
your
make
own
sense
consumer base,
for
yeah.
us to say, I'll be good for 5 years. And this is, again, is the multi-choice example.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense for my model not to make sense when we know that DSTV is a grudge purchase for people. They don't want to purchase it, but they hate it because if I don't have it, then I'm out.
The rugby.
But if you then start to say, how can I work with the people that I have to talk to the investors that I have, to say, I don't want to bleed my customers dry. I want to create opportunities and pockets where I can sell my product to South Africans, make a profit, but not absolutely kill them. And then we'll find a way together to make the thing make sense. Those conversations are conversations that people are having.
No.
Because in 2014, 11 years ago, I gave a strategic talk to guys, senior guys, at MultiChoice. And I said to them, as a 20-something-year-old who can afford your services, why do I choose to pirate them? Because streaming wasn't available then. Why does someone who can afford to pay for your things choose to pirate them? Mm. And then they said, yeah, because we don't have this and that. And I said, because your business model currently doesn't afford flexibility. And it still doesn't till this day.
Yes.
So that's why they got into the position that they got. And it wasn't an us thing. Because
as time went on, it just got worse.
Then suddenly all of the other people, because South Africa on the continent does shape where things will go.
Yeah.
We started crying. Then the people in Kenya started crying. Then the people in Uganda started crying about multi-choice. Then Ghana. Then Nigeria. Then that's when the thing crumbled. The scheme that they had built of extracting money out of consumers across the continent ultimately failed.
They didn't digitize. They didn't adapt to the times.
No, they didn't.
But they were making money in that time.
Hand over fist, bro. They were making a lot of money.
Now, that's the problem. While they're making money, it's very difficult to have that chat.
And it blinded.
What do we say on the show? You don't see the money that you're losing.
You don't see the money that you're losing when you're making too much money.
Damn.
Elap.
Me and PH's lesson. We're going to make it a motivational
post. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah. And that's why.
Yeah. Because here, you're nice. Yeah.
But your bottom line is losing. Yeah.
No, you're losing a lot.
Yeah.
But because you're always making focused more on than you're losing.
So that's why, and this is not a popular opinion. That's why I am of the belief that the SABC has to be funded from all telecommunications possible devices that can stream.
Sure.
And it has to be a 1% to 2%, they can work out levy of every purchase, so that we are all involved into the SABC, so that it can have money, so that it can continue to be a player that we own.
To be the national broadcast.
If we allow the SABC to falter, nizawubona, you'll know nothing.
Mm. It's sorry. To dumb this down, is this the equivalent of someone paying city tax? Like
we pay a tourism levy. Sure. Anyone who's ever gone on a vacation and whatnot, go look at your invoice. There's a 1% tourism levy.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. Yeah,
it's baked into what you do, and that levy helps various parts of the tourism chain to be sustainable.
Sure.
There's a pool of funds that have been created. Why people are fighting the SABC being capacitated with another form of revenue is beyond me. The SABC is one of the most important channels of distribution of information that we hold as South Africans. And then after we've funded the SABC should be a core African distribution network. If you want to have any conversation on the continent, you have to get a CNN or a BBC. That is criminal.
Yeah.
Very true.
Criminal. The SABC is not just for us. The SABC is how we project our version of things on the continent.
Very true.
And if we don't help the SABC, we're going to be in kak.
Mm. We'll have a narrative being pushed by your BBC.
Oh, it's already happening.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. Yeah.
Or Bloomberg. But anyways, I digress.
That's why we had to go for 2 weeks without a show, because we needed this. And we needed, it feels like, I always say this, we always need another episode. And there's tons of
things. Now, like, I literally walked into the show feeling like a criminal. Now I feel like a whistleblower.
Hey, well,
thank you for your time.
We have to watch it back and see what we need to cut.
Please,
brother, thank you for your time and your knowledge. It's always a deep pool of knowledge.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate that. I love the way you think. I love the way you express things. And I always, every time you're on the show, they're like, PH is quiet. Duh.
Yeah, we need to listen here, bro.
I'm listening.
We attend rides with white people. And we need to arrive there with topics to discuss.
When
we
play golf next week,
I'm going to call my whites now. Light the pride.
Bros.
Listen, we got a band. We got to be together.
Yo.
We got to make joint decisions.
Yeah. PRC. Investment.
Yo. PRC. We're a big owner.
Thank you very much. Please, like he asked very nicely, let's chat in the comment section. We want to hear your opinions. We want to hear what you have to say, and we'll definitely interact with you guys. Otherwise, start when you can find us on the show, on the socials, and also Konje, where else? Spotify,
in the VIPs,
everywhere.
Not at officials' houses. No, please.
Find us in Sandhurst.
Find us there in Sandhurst with blue lights. Otherwise,
if you see blue lights coming, it might be me.
So, transporting Donnie's. We're out of here. Show us some love on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And of course, like, subscribe, and send this to your dolly. Send this one to your dolly.
Yeah, and tell her behave herself.
Yeah?
Otherwise, can I tell my gay story now?
No.
Yo, yo. Hey. Please.
Cheers, guys.
Take it easy. And if it's easy, take it home.
When I'm young in season.